Well, some of y'all came back. That's very nice of y'all to do that. And the Hales, they were determined, broken ankles and all, they were going to come hear me preach. So, but I do want to say, pray for Mrs. Hale. She broke her ankle as well, so we want to be in prayer for her. Brother Hale said it was because she just didn't want to have to take care of him, so she was just going to follow in his footsteps. So, but no, it's good to be here and looking forward to what the Lord has for us tonight. I hope that it's a help and a blessing for you this evening. And just want to make one quick announcement. We are having the teen hang out tonight after services. It will be at our house. And so just want to encourage you. We are going to be taking a van. So if you need a vehicle to have a ride over there, but we will ask if you could come pick them up at our house. So we don't want to keep them during Thanksgiving. Thank you very much. But we hope there'll be a good time. So we're looking forward to that. If you would stand in honor of God's word and turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, as I think about Thanksgiving at this time of the year, I couldn't get this passage off my mind, and I just knew this is what the Lord would have for me. Brother Sam Davison, who preached our revival this year, he made the statement, because the youth have, a couple weeks ago, they heard this message, but at the same time, Brother Davidson always said, he said, if a message can't be preached a second time, it probably shouldn't have been preached the first time. So we're going to pray that this will go the way I hope it goes. But I am thankful for the opportunity. I don't take it lightly. And I'm thankful for the difference this passage specifically has made in my life. And so I hope that it'll be a help to you and an encouragement to you this evening. If you're in Luke chapter 10, I don't know if I said 11, but I meant 10. So you may need to go back a page. We were excited because in our study, we're going through the book of Luke. We finally finished chapter 10. It's an action-packed chapter, so we were there for a little while. But Luke chapter 10, we're going to begin reading in verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. This passage is probably familiar, but I hope that it'll be a help tonight. He said in verse 38, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered," Jesus, "into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you so much for the privilege to be in your house tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd give me the words to say, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified. And may this passage be a help to the hearers tonight. Lord, I acknowledge that I don't have in myself the words, but Lord, I'm thankful for your word. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Verse 42 is a very common verse that we have heard many times, where Jesus is talking to Martha and he makes this phrase here. He says, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Jesus emphasizes that there is one thing that is very important in the life of Martha, in the life of Mary, and in our lives today. There is a thing that is very needful. Jesus said it is the one thing that is needful. If Jesus said it's the one thing that is needful, then I would say to you and to me tonight that it'd be very important for us to sit up and to listen and to say, if this is what is needful, then what is it that Jesus said is needful? Because he looks at Martha and he tells her that very phrase. He says, "Look, Martha, you're cumbered about, you're careful about many things and you're troubled about many things, but I'm here to tell you that in your life there is one thing that is needful. And Mary had chosen that. Mary had chosen the very thing that was needful in her life." You see, Jesus has, in this passage, again, chapter 10, I encourage you, go read it. It's an awesome passage where Jesus has given them, his 70 disciples, the ability to go and to preach the kingdom of God and to cast out demons and to heal the sick and to do these many different miracles. And they go out and they do these many miracles for the Lord, and then they come back. And they're so excited about what they're able to do. And Jesus tells them that don't be so, even though those are amazing things that you get to do, that is not what the most important thing is that you should rejoice. In fact, he tells them that the most important thing to rejoice in verse 20 is not that the spirits were subject unto them, but rather because their names are written in heaven. And I think even on this week of Thanksgiving, and I don't know what is going on in everybody's life, but I'm here to tell you the thing that you can be thankful about is that your name is written in heaven. And Jesus is telling his disciples, yes, I have given you some special abilities that no one before them, this or no one after them had. They were the 12 apostles. They were special gifts that were given to them. But he says, look, I want you to understand something. There's something in your life that is more important. There's something that you should rejoice more in. And that is the very fact that your name is written in heaven. You may say, I don't have much. Well, that doesn't matter if your name's written in heaven. You may say things aren't really going well right now. Well, that's all right because your name is written in heaven. The most important thing in your life is that your name is written in heaven. And Jesus tells them that. And in the middle of all this, he emphasizes to them what was truly important, that who is really a neighbor. It's something that you can look out, anybody that looks out and has compassion on someone else. And he's going about this ministry, and he comes into this city, into the city where Mary and Martha lives. Martha sees that Jesus has come. We know that Mary and Martha and the brother Lazarus, right, the one that he raises from the dead, they're good friends, so they knew them. In fact, Jesus wept when he saw that Lazarus had died. And sure enough, Martha sees that Jesus is in town and invites him to come in to where he is or to where they are and to enjoy a meal and to enjoy some time of relaxation. Now, even as I looked at this passage and you think about it, a lot of times you think, or maybe not a lot, but in my perspective, I'm thinking, okay, Jesus goes into the house, but and they're trying to provide a meal and take care of all those things. But you got to realize Jesus has 12 disciples with him. So this is a pretty large crowd that is gathered in their house. And so, of course, Martha is there, and she has a sister. We all know her name. She is Mary, and Mary is not busy going about getting all these things done. Martha is, but Mary is where she's supposed to be. She's doing the one thing that is needful. She is sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. The most important thing and the most needful thing in your life, in my life tonight, is to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear from his word. There are many things that can help make us lose focus or that we can prioritize above. But I'm here to tell you the most needful thing that Mary could do and the most needful thing that Martha could do and anyone else was to sit at the feet of Jesus. This was God in the flesh. And he's sitting amongst them and teaching them and speaking to them. And Jesus tells Martha, she chose, Mary did what was right, what was needful. And Martha was cumbered, and we'll come back to that word in a minute, but she was cumbered about with much serving. And she comes to Jesus and asks a question quite forcibly to Jesus. It wasn't like, Jesus, could I get your attention? No, she comes in. Look what she says there in verse 40. She comes to the Lord and says, Lord, dost thou not care? You know, that's the biggest thing. Even the Israelites, you look in the Old Testament, their big concern was, does Jesus really care about them? And they would question those things. And Jesus says, prove me. Look at the things that I have done for you. And she asked, Lord, do you even care? Do you care that my sister has left me alone to serve this big crowd of people? Do you even care that I'm the only one that is serving? That I'm the only one that is doing? And not only does Jesus or does Martha ask this question very forcibly, she also gives a command to Jesus. Can you imagine that? But we do it all the time as well. But here's Martha, and she's like, do you even care about me? Do you even care that I'm serving, that Mary is just not doing anything? And then she tells Jesus, this is what you should do. Tell her to come help me. Martha felt like she was the only one that was serving. She says, bid her therefore that she help her. Tell her to stop sitting around and being lazy and get up and help me. Would you please just tell her to do that? And I'm thankful when we see the names, when Jesus repeats a name, it's in kindness and with a tender heart towards her. He doesn't rebuke her for saying, how could you even ask whether I care? Jesus doesn't say that. Instead, he lovingly and kindly says, Martha, Martha. In kindness and in love, in his love for Martha, he needed to correct her wrong way of thinking. And that's why he tells her, Martha, there is one thing that is needful in your life. Martha, Mary has chosen that part that can never be taken away from her. You may have health, and in this life it may go away. You may have a nice job, and it may be taken away. You may have all the things that you ever thought you ever wanted, and they could be taken away. But I'm telling you, nothing can ever be taken. Anything that is done in a spirit for the Lord and in the and spiritually speaking can ever be taken away from a Christian. So as I look at this, here's Martha on one side. She's busy. We'd look at her, let's put it this way. We'd look at her on the outside and say, that's the spiritual one. Look at her. She's up serving. She's up doing. She's busy. She's not just sitting around. I mean, she's doing a lot of different things. This is the one you'd want to model after because she's busy doing a lot of stuff. And here we have Mary over here, and instead she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. But Jesus says, no, Mary's chosen that which cannot be taken away from her. So as I was thinking about this in my own life, and I was thinking about Martha here, this question came to my mind. What kept Martha from enjoying the one thing she needed most? What kept Martha from enjoying the one thing that she needed most? Because if we would go around the room tonight and we'd ask, like, what's the most important thing in your life? What's the most important thing that you could do from a Christian perspective, obviously? We're not asking the world and all this. But in here, if we'd ask that and we'd pull that question, we'd understand that the most important thing you could do is sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. I don't think there would be anybody that would say, no, that's not the most important thing, to learn more and to know more about the one that gave his life for us. He we talked about Sunday school this morning. He humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation just so he could have a relationship with a wicked sinner like me. He cared about me that much. Of course, sitting at the feet of Jesus is the most important. But what was it in Martha's life, and so many times in our life, is it that keeps us from enjoying the most important thing in our life, the one thing that is important, and that is sitting at Jesus' feet, learning from his word? We understand Jesus is the Word. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Jesus is the Word. So the way we sit at Jesus' feet now is through the Word of God that has been given to us. But what keeps us from that in our life most of the time? I noticed some things about Martha's life that I found in my life, and maybe that you can find it in your own life. What was it that kept Martha from enjoying the one thing she needed most? Well, first, I'm sorry, it is Thanksgiving break and all those kind of things, but we're going to have to do a little definition work. Jesus said one thing is needful. One thing has fully you need in your life. Needful has the idea of necessary as supply or relief. Listen to this. So what's the root word? Well, the root word we understand is need. Need is necessity. Something that is an absolute necessity in your life. Listen to this part, second part of a need. It's a state that requires supply or relief. Look, Martha, there's one thing that's needful in your life. There's one thing, oh, this is so good. I'm probably not going to convey it the wrong, but there's one thing that's going to supply the things that you need in your life, spiritually speaking. There's one thing that's going to supply. There's things that you are lacking in your life, and there's only one place that you're going to find it, and that's why it's so needful in your life. Martha, there's one thing that you can do so that you can have those things. There's one thing that you need when you have the state that requires a supply or relief. But Martha, unlike Mary, was getting it all backwards. And first I want you to notice in this chapter, verse 40, it says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. I think one of the biggest things that keeps us from the most important, the most needful thing in our life is that she was distracted by busyness. We live in a world that is so busy, and in the season that we're going to, I love Thanksgiving, I love Christmas, I mean, I just love this time of the year, but you take that time out, just life in general. It's busy. There's things that you do from the time you get up to the time it's time to go to bed at night. I mean, there's always something to go on. It's working a job. It's trying to provide for the family. It's trying to be the husband that you're supposed to be, the father you're supposed to be. I mean, there's so many different things that come into play in our life that can just seemingly distract us from even the one thing. You say those things can be a distraction? Yeah, from the thing that is most needful. But the Bible says that she was cumbered about. That means that has to do with to draw away. Can I ask you tonight, honestly, and this is, I'm not pointing the finger at you, I'm asking you, what is it that's distracting you from this? No, honestly, what is it that's distracting you from the most needful thing in your life? The idea has to do with something that draws you away. What is it in your life that seems to draw you away from the most needful thing that will make you, to help you to be the most impact for Christ on this earth? I'm pausing on purpose. I want you to think about it. I don't want to just move. I want you to think about, what is it? This is the most important thing in your life. And what is it that's drawing away? What is it that's distracting you from the most needful thing in your life? I love this part of the definition. Well, not love more than, it's more convicting than anything, but it has to do with to be driven about mentally. Man, I got to be over here, and I got to do this, and I got to be here, and I got to do this, and I got all these things, and we're just all over the place mentally. It was, we were getting ready because my wife cares about the teens, but we were trying to get the house all in order, you know, just kind of cleaning some things up yesterday, and we were getting the upstairs kind of cleaned up because we have four kids that like to destroy things. It's okay. But so we're upstairs trying to get everything in order. And my wife at the top of the stairs, she put some cleaner because she was doing some other stuff. She put some cleaner up there and she says, "Hey, Jonathan, will you take that down when you go downstairs?" And so I was like, "Yeah, of course." After I get done, you know, doing what I was doing up there, helping out with some of the stuff, I was like, "Yeah, sure." Then I went down. She said, "While you're downstairs, can you bring me a Walmart bag? And could you bring me the broom too?" So I was like, "Yeah, steel trap. I don't let anything in or out. But I'll remember. No big deal. No big deal. I got this." So I go downstairs, leave the cleaner up there, go downstairs, and then I saw some things that I forgot to take up. So she was like, "Oh, did you take the cleaner downstairs?" I was like, "No, I got distracted by this. Oh, did you bring me the Walmart bag and the broom that I asked you?" "Oh." And then this is awesome how, you know, my son is my little mini me. So then she tells, I won't say the old, actually, it's JJ, it's okay. Kids are good for illustrations, they gotta be good for something. No, I'm just kidding. So then she tells JJ, "Hey, will you go downstairs and get the Walmart bag and the broom?" And he comes up with like nothing in his hand, didn't get it all. And we're like, so then we just all laughed together. Mainly it was laughing at me because, anyways, I should have remembered. But we're so distracted by different things that, and I'm the worst at it, like squirrel over here and squirrel, and like everything gets my attention, right? But if Jesus said it's the most needful thing in my life, why would we let anything distract us from time with Him? I think about the season that we're in, another definition, just stay with me, but they're so key to this word cumbered. And you can see why so many Christians are just weighted down and not living the life that God wants them to live. And I'm preaching to myself. But number three has to be overoccupied. Has the idea of overoccupied. To be too busy. I told the teens, I said, look, and it's an old statement, but it's just as true today as it was back then. If you're too busy to spend time in prayer and reading your Bible, then let me tell you, you're too busy. You're too busy. You're missing out on the most needful thing in your life. And I find so many times I'm just cumbered down and not getting to enjoy what God wants me to have just because I'm cumbered down with so many things that I'm overoccupied. I'm mentally, seemingly, I'm distracted by so many different things. Listen to this. the Lord gave me this thought. Serving the Lord should not draw us away or distract us from Jesus. It should drive us to Him. Jesus said, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. Paul said, I'm a bond servant of the Lord. And the service shouldn't be this weight that's on top of us because, oh, I got to do this. No, it should be that we spend time with the Lord and therefore the service flows right out of that. Which led to another thing. She was distracted by busyness. Are you distracted by busyness that you don't have time for God and His Word? So she was cumbered. She was distracted by busyness. Secondly, I want you to notice she was anxious. She was anxious. Look at what Jesus said to her in verse 41. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, I'm so thankful. I just have to pause. I'm so thankful that the Lord is not someone that when I mess up or when I haven't been exactly where I want to be and I'm not moving forward like I know I should, He never just throws us to the side. And He comes and says, Jonathan, Jonathan, I love you, but you're missing out on the most needful thing. He says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. That careful has the idea of being anxious. Anxious, greatly concerned, or it means greatly concerned respecting something future or the unknown. I almost made it my point to say she was worried about the unknowns and the what ifs. That's what she was worried about. What if I don't get this all done? What if I don't serve it exactly the right way? What if this is undone or this? What if the perception then becomes about me? Because that's one of the parts of the definition of being careful has to do with to seek to promote one's own interest. And if this doesn't look, if my life doesn't look cookie cutter, perfect Christian, then what is everybody else going to think? Instead of realizing, Martha, Martha, we're all flawed sinners. We're all messed up. And that's why we need the grace of our God to live the life that He wants us to live. And she was so anxious that she was going to get something wrong, that something wasn't going to be exactly the way she thought it should be. Maybe not for her, but how someone else thought it should be. I'm telling you, that anxiousness about the future or something that is unknown, that has to be the idea of to be troubled with cares. You see, there's a difference between controlling the controllables and prioritizing the one thing that is needful. She was anxious. And I find as we begin getting weighted down, it's like this thing that builds on top of itself, right? It's like as we're cumbered down, we're so busy, we don't have time for God. We're too busy. You don't understand. We just don't have time. That then all of a sudden begin to get anxious about, well, what if this happens? Or what about this? Or what about this circumstance that may take place? Or whatever it might be, because we're not having those burdens, as the song says, lifted at Calvary. When we just go to Him and say, I need you, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's why it says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. So because she's not spending any time at Jesus' feet, now she's cumbered down with all these different things because she's so busy serving, looking right to everyone else, but she's not spending any time at Jesus' feet. So now she has no person to go to cast her cares upon. And she's anxious. Do you find yourself in that same place? And then lastly, Jesus said, thou art careful and troubled. Not only was she anxious, it caused her to be restless. That has the idea of to be disturbed or disquieted. Because she did not make the one thing a priority in her life. Now she gets cumbered down with all these different things in supposed service that she has no one to go to cast all her care upon. And now her soul is restless. We live in a restless society. Everybody wants peace. Everybody wants rest. But a lost person that won't come to Christ in salvation for the only rest that comes through Him, And we say, yeah, why would that person do that? Can I ask you, why are you missing out on the rest that God wants you to have? And I would say them with confidence in my heart that the reason is because we don't spend time with the one thing that is needful. And so we don't get that peace. We don't have that rest that only God can give. You're not going to have the rest that God gives apart from knowing Him. Because the more I know about God, the more I know about His Word, the more rest and peace I have. One commentator said this, "If we would be strong for the service and the strength that prevents distraction and unrest, we must know what it means to find time amid all the duties of life to sit at the feet of Jesus." Man, I'm thankful that I can go to Him. I'm thankful that I can just spend time with Him. And even as I studied this out, there was a couple of different times where I just got on my knees and just began to thank God that He loves me and He cares about me. And even though I might be coming about, if you are in that state, I'm here to tell you in this tonight, you can come to Him and you can say, God, I'm tired of being cumbered about. I'm tired of all the distractions that keep me from knowing You more. And it's causing this anxiousness in my soul. It's causing this restlessness in my soul. But if we would just say, hey, that can wait. It could be friends. It could be job. It could be so many different things. You could say, and you say, God, that can wait. Because the one thing I found is every time that I make the to-do list, it never is done by the end of the day. There's always something that gets moved to the next day. So what if in this time of wonderful Thanksgiving, we just set everything aside? We say, God, You're the one that's going to provide everything I need to give me the rest that I desire, that I wouldn't be the fool of the care, and that I could cast it all on You, and then You would provide everything I need to help me to live a life that is pleasing to You, to live a life that makes a difference, that's not distracted by things that will not count in eternity. And I will allow You to make the difference in my life that You desire to. You see, there are people, I love what one commentator said, and I'll be done. You see, there are people like Mary, those who know how to serve and also sit at Jesus' feet. There are people, too many, I would say, like Martha, those who diligently and with the best intention serve God, but without adding the one thing, a continued focus on Jesus. And I love what this commentator said he ends with, and it results in great frustration. Because service will never satisfy. Only spending time with Jesus, the one thing that is needful, will satisfy. Let's all stand. Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that You would help us during this time. Lord, help us not to be cumbered about with so many different things. Help us to come to You. Lord, You said casting all our care upon You. Lord, and the things that keep us from the one thing is just being distracted with busyness. Lord, being anxious about things that we should take to You instead of trying to control ourselves. And therefore, so many times it causes the restlessness in our lives. Father, I pray that You'd help us. I hope it was an encouragement and help to someone in here tonight. And we'll praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.